We're having a morning conversation here about child rearing. It's fun. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the world's greatest news and some of the world's craziest news and health research. And so guess what? Strait of Hormuz is open, and apparently we're thinking about giving $20 billion for some uranium over there in Iran to basically pay these guys off.
You know why? Because we paid the Israeli Revenue Service on Wednesday. They got a glut of cash. They got to figure out what to do with
it. Yeah, now Israel's all happy because they got half of Lebanon, and they're saying they're not giving it back. Yeah. And so how do we know the whole obfuscation wasn't to take Lebanon?
Yeah.
Well, how do we know it wasn't to, you know, further finance the military-industrial complex? How do we know that anything even happened over there because we weren't there anyhow? You know, Chuck Baldwin's come in and said now that he said over 900 troops have died, over 5,000 been injured.
It's been a conflict. I know that. Everybody I've talked to as far as defense conflict.
Well, I know there's
Lebanon's
conflict.
Been an absolute. I'll show you a video of Lebanon. You guys want to see this? It's interesting. IDF soldier posted this, bragging about it. You guys like this. This is fun. We love this for everybody.
Oil prices are going down, by the way.
Yeah, watch this. This is on a APV. You got an IDF soldier hanging on an APV, and he's talking to basically some reporters. And he's discussing on how tremendously successful it's been in taking over southern Lebanon and talking about how the entire area is going to be bulldozed, and they're basically putting in their greater project with all the housing for more Israelis moving.
Today is a new settlement. Witness what a tremendous success this has been. This is the end of every terrorist, every village, every city. We will come to destroy and to break everything. Come on, the people of Israel, live! Unbelievable.
That was Lebanon. That's South Lebanon. What's once South Lebanon was. I thought you guys would be intrigued in that. They brag about it.
I had not seen that video yet. I am absolutely speechless.
I got another one for you guys.
So he's posting it on social media.
Oh, yeah. I got this. You guys are going to love this one. So Apple and Israel just partnered.
Of course.
Big partnership. Multi-billion dollar partnership. You guys want to know why? I've always told you guys. So adamant about keeping cameras covered up on your phone. That camera, that little camera on the front of your phone that is always monitoring you, by the way. They lie to you and say it's not on all the time. It is on 100% of the time, 24/7, if you have permissions on. And even I don't turn my permissions on, and I still put electrical tape over it, and people laugh at me. They laugh at me. They're awesome. Why do you have electrical tape over your selfie camera? You can't do anything with a selfie. You can't do facial recognition. I said, duh. That's the point. You guys are going to love this one. This is legit. I backed this up. This lady just explains it really well. That's why I clicked on her thing. It's a very short snippet on here. You guys like this. Enjoy.
Apple and Israel.
Apple and Israel.
Israel will now be able to read your private thoughts. Apple has bought an Israeli AI company, QAI, which will let them monitor your silent communication. Wow, that was a lot of scary words in one sentence. One of the biggest tech companies in the world with all your info just spent $2 billion to buy a company which detects all your racist thoughts by your blinking pattern. QAI has ties to Israeli military, so make sure to blink I love Mossad once a day. The company uses computer vision sensors capable of detecting micro-movements of the facial skin, cheeks, and jaw during internal speech or whispering. Apple say they will use it to improve their Apple Vision Pro and other technology. Yeah, sure. They totally don't want to use it to read and control your mind. Luckily, bad things are soon forbidden to think. The U.S. part of TikTok was bought by the bunch of mega investment funds, Trump supporters, and Zionists.
And now we have a country of our own, defended by all the brave men and women of the IDF.
He sounds so queer.
So anything we can do to support them who, you know, devote their lives for preserving the state of Israel, keeping the people safe, and allowing our state to continue.
Many TikTok users report no views on their videos if they talk about certain political issues. And you have the CEO of TikTok US saying this.
We made a change to designate the use of the term Zionist as a proxy for a protected attribute as hate speech. So if somebody were to use Zionist, of course you can use it in the sense of you're a proud Zionist.
That's
but if you're using it in
a political party,
degrading somebody, calling somebody a Zionist as a dirty name, then that gets designated as hate speech. We also have, I think, over 24 Jewish organizations that are constantly feeding us intelligence and information when they spot violative trends.
That's the CEO of TikTok, guys. Just thought I would just start that casual Friday off with a bang.
You know, you've got to do something a little different here. I can't deal with this.
I'm going with some positive stuff. I just had to get those out.
No. I gotta vent. You know, when you're gonna do stuff like that, you gotta give me a heads up, man.
Well, that was my morning. I had everybody send me these this morning.
But I just didn't even see that.
This is why
it kind of leaves me speechless, and that's hard to do.
Well, that's why I told everybody, what do you think they're doing with the cameras on the phones? The reason why they turn on all the time and they want – the reason why – this is what an AI tech guy personally told me who's involved in big tech. He said the reason why they have the facial recognition to open your phone and do all these things now as far as your password is they want to have access to your face 24/7.
Well, and they don't want you to cover the camera.
That's exactly right. They want you to be required to use the camera to open your phone all the time.
Yeah, they got me on this. I've been leaving the camera open because they have to log in.
It's easy. You look at it, you go, oh, it works. My phone's open, right? It's secure. No. Mine's a push button code that I change every month. Changes on there. I have electrical tape on my phone over my camera every day. Not because I'm paranoid, not because I'm weird, but because they're telling you right here they use it to monitor your face at all times. Your jaw movement, your mouth movement, your eye movement, your brow movement, and they monitor and watch it 24/7.
The thing that bothered me with this last little Zionist thing with TikTok is this, and I'm just going to just kind of sit here and look at the camera like, you know, like a calf at a new gate. If I don't like the Republicans, I can say I hate Republicans.
Exactly.
If I don't like libertarians, I can say I hate libertarians. Yeah. And if I don't like, you know, Democrats, I can say I hate Democrats.
Right.
Zionism is a political party.
Exactly right.
That's all it is. It's pushing greater Israel. That's all it is. So now if you say I hate Zionism, okay, I guess I just got myself blocked on all the platforms we use.
Well, that's mainly TikTok. That's why they basically shadow ban you on there. Use that term now. Complete shadow ban, as we said. But you'll have guys on there with a million followers, and they'll post videos. And that's why if you watch them, a lot of times they bleep them out, or they change the lettering, or they put asterisks in front of it. They have to do all this stuff now to get around this. I mean, you'll have a million followers, all of a sudden you'll post something like that, and you'll get like two, three views. That's it. They'll block your entire post.
But I mentioned this the other day, and I've had a lot of feedback from it. People didn't realize this is what happened. You know, in 1919, 1920, when they did the Treaty of Versailles, they couldn't get it pushed through Congress because they didn't control the media yet.
Yep.
They still, there were a lot of independent news channels, independent newspapers. All these people were out there still putting information out there that was independent. And so when Woodrow Wilson, that blithering idiot with syphilis, came back, who died as a blithering imbecile from the syphilis in his brain, you think I'm joking, look it up. He ended up basically couldn't get the Treaty of Versailles passed, couldn't get it ratified, couldn't get the League of Nations going, couldn't do anything because the American population said, I don't think so, we're not going to do this. So they've made a huge mistake now, and now they're fixing it.
Yeah.
With AI. That's what this is all about, because they want to control the thoughts and the minds like they did in Genesis 6, where every thought was evil right all the time. Chuck Baldwin said this. He says, Iran has won the war with Benjamin Netanyahu. Iran has won the war with Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump. And over the next few months, the American people will learn the truth that over 900 of our servicemen have been killed and over 5,000 have been wounded in the Iran war, all of them killed and wounded for Israel. For the time being, killed and wounded American service personnel are being sent to Germany to keep U.S. casualties hidden from the American public.
Yeah.
No matter what Trump has done, does between now and November, the pre-Iran war world is gone forever. As Julius Caesar said when he crossed the Rubicon River, you know, he said, Ali Ayakta Est, which means the die is cast. When I say the world we knew is gone forever, there are examples of what I mean. American global hegemony is gone. Israeli Middle Eastern hegemony is gone. The petrodollar is the world reserve currency is gone. British colonialism is finally gone. Christian Zionism is gone. The multipolar world is here. In the short term, this means we'll face some very challenging days, especially economically. Now, whether this all happens or not, I don't think it will, and here's why. Because the Rothschild banking cartel is, their fiefdom is Israel. And they're not about to let that fall because they control all of the money supply with all of the central banks all over the world. This guy who wrote this wasn't Joe Ball. Joe Ball was quoting somebody.
The U.S. dollar is still the reserve currency as long as they can prop it up.
I really don't know how to say, yes, that's exactly right. But, you know, when you start looking at this, you know, it's just people don't realize how many people are out there that are controlling us and still control us. And it's sad to me because, you know, it's all about the money all of the time.
Like this. We talk about this all the time. New video game. Billed as Vaccine Against Disinformation.
What?
It's actually the name of the video game. Mm-hmm. Not joking. It's drawing criticism by those who say the game is unconvincing and unethical because it's training children to accept the narrative instead of developing critical thinking skills. It packages potentially harmful information in a game format that can easily be used as subliminal manipulation and censorship, and that's exactly what it is. I looked this up. It's a video game. It's called Bad Vax. Launched last year, promised to help kids build resilience against vaccine misinformation. Users can play as pro-vaccine hero or anti-vaccine villain. I'm not joking. This is a video game they put out there. Scientists who created the game said players demonstrated a greater ability to spot manipulation techniques in social media posts and were less likely to share manipulative context. The game developers published their findings in scientific reports. The study concluded that the game was successful in increasing players' resilience to vaccine information. This is a brain and train technology. This is old school. This stems from MKUltra with the CIA-based mind control. This goes into detail on what they're doing now with the younger generation with controlling the minds. I was talking to Rich earlier before the show, and I said there's a reason why they don't want anybody having books anymore. There's a reason why you can't find kids' books hardly anymore now. Actually, real, true books that you can read hardback anymore. They're produced.
I had a bunch of those in my attic.
I got all of them.
I know you took them all.
I took them home, and I've been reading them. Come the other night, reading there in his room with a flashlight. I mean, in the book. I mean, just in it. He's telling me all about it. And I'm like, honey, you got to go to bed. It's school night. It's 11:30, bro. Like, you got to go to sleep. He goes, how's Hagman? I said, good, son. Hagman was fantastic. Now you need to go to bed. He's like, okay, I'm going to bed. And I was all tired. He's like, I got to figure out how to handle that. Because I'm not mad at him for reading. It's good. I'm glad he's reading.
He's reading a real book.
He's reading real books, hardback books.
The problem is you can't change a real book.
You have to. The only way to change a real book is you have to burn it. You have to destroy it and then reprint it, which is unbelievably time-consuming and cost ineffective. What do you do? Digital iPads.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something. Now, a lot of you are saying, "Yeah, we know the Nazis had a big book burning thing." Well, stop. They were burning porn.
They were burning a lot of pedophilia books too.
Pedophilia, porn, Satanism, all kinds of weird stuff about the Kabbalah and Luciferianism and Satan worship. Because remember, Berlin was a den of filth. It's that way again now, by the way. And they had enough of it. And when Hitler came into power, said, "Now we're done." Like within 1 week, all of that porn stuff and all of those brothels in Europe and in Berlin were gone.
Yeah.
In fact, he took one of them and he basically turned it into the Nazi headquarters in Berlin. So when they say the Germans were book burning, you got to understand what they were burning. But these guys aren't burning the real good books like the Christian. These guys are complaining because Hitler was burning the filth. These guys are mad because he was burning the filth.
Well, and this is what they're doing now. So they're trying to get rid of all the real books. That's why you can't hardly find them anymore. As I said, unless they're used, they're not produced anymore. And another factor of why they want everybody to switch to iPads and iPhones when they're reading books, right? So, yeah, it's cheaper. Yes, more. It's easier to disseminate. It's easier, basically, to produce. You don't have to produce hardbacks. But here's another reason why. Remember what I just showed you with the AI Apple program with the facial recognition on the camera. Every Apple phone, every Apple iPad, they all have it, right? Everybody knows that. They want to be able to monitor your facial expressions on whatever you're reading at the time. They've disclosed this numerous times in terms and conditions. They want to monitor and see what you think, what you feel, how you react to certain aspects of what you're reading. They also do this to kids. There is no age limit on facial monitoring on these phones. You can look that up because there is no way to designate who's having the phone at what time. Well, this person's 12, this person's 16. We're not going to monitor it. It's blanket monitoring. So when they're reading.
That's true. They don't have to prove their age.
No, they don't prove their age. You give a kid a phone, the camera's on all the time. They're reading it.
Make sure you tape up your kids' phones.
If they have them. So what they want to do is they want to be able to do this is the part that nobody understands. The algorithm, the data logging, the data points they build on everybody with these cameras is unlike something we've never witnessed in humankind. Because we're taking persons' facial patterns that you never recognize, you never look at. How often is somebody reading a book and you're sitting there staring at them 6 inches away, monitoring and diagramming what their face is looking like, how their eyes are skimming, if they smile, if they
and
smile.
You know what they're reading too.
Right.
You have it
right
on the field.
You don't do that in person. Nobody's ever done this in history. We're literally getting a full close-up facial recognition monitoring of every single nuance of the face, and they know exactly what they're reading while they're reading it, while they're scrolling down, which gives them the most aggressive predictive modeling to determine how they react to every single thing they see. This is why I told you guys, when they're going on social media, they literally watch every single post. They see your pupil dilation, your smile, your anger, your forehead brow, your movements, every single thing you do, and they can determine exactly what you like, think, want, and desire. This isn't a joke anymore, guys, and I'm not being weird. I'm not trying to have a tinfoil hat. What I'm saying is, especially when it comes to your kids, be really, really cautious of giving them an open phone or an open iPad for them to be able to have access to this. These cameras, the girl just said it, and I've gone into detail. You can look it up yourself. Apple owns this technology. Okay. Israel works with this company. They are going to monitor everything, and they have been.
And what's interesting is, let's say this. The kid sees something that he thinks, wow, this is great. He sees something right. Like he sees a Lamborghini or a Corvette. Or
a dinosaur.
Or a dinosaur, right. Okay? Well, they trigger it and say, okay, that's good. Now, if the kid pushes the wrong button, and he goes to something he shouldn't go to, some pornography thing, and he goes, oh, that's interesting. I've never seen that before. All of a sudden, they say, ah, I got a pupil dilation.
That's exactly right.
Now I could trigger him by doing this.
Yep, and I know exactly what's going to trigger him the most.
You know, it's interesting to me because that movie Don't Look Up.
Oh, yeah. It's a satire, but it's got a lot of stuff in it that if you listen to it, it's like, golly.
This guy eventually destroys the planet, right? Because of his greed and avarice, and he's a pedophile.
He's a tech guy. Tech
pedophile. He's a tech guy, pedophile guy. Yep. And Leonardo DiCaprio is we're a top NASA scientist. And Leonardo DiCaprio goes, look, he goes, you're a businessman. You don't understand the science here. He goes, businessman. And he said, I'm quoting him loosely. He goes, I have 15 million data points on you. I know what you think. I know what you're going to do. I know you have colon polyps. He goes, I know everything about you. He goes, I know when you're going to die. I know you're going to die alone. Businessman. And I thought to myself, he's telling us they have millions, and that's not an exaggeration, millions of data points on everybody now because of this.
And that's why I said do everything you can to at least deter it. You can't stop everything.
I mean, I look at a Corvette, and I talk about it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden it pops up on my phone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's been going on for years.
And I'm like, okay, why am I getting a Corvette? I didn't Google that.
Yeah, that's been going on for years.
I mentioned it.
All of a sudden, closest Chevy dealers pop up. Hmm? On your ass. Oh, yeah. That's been happening for years.
Now, think about that. Now, I'm going to read you this. I read this to you years ago. I'm going to read it to you again, but now I'm not going to edit it because I edited it before. Now, after Israel's done this with Lebanon and this thing with Iran, I'm just going to go ahead and give you the full blunt here. We control both left and right, Kunlun Banker. In a candid dinner conversation after World War I, Kunlun partner Otto Kahn was asked why capitalist bankers support communism. He replied they both have an identical purpose. The remaking of the world from above in control of riches and from below from revolution. This is all Kabbalah. They are all Freemasons and Kabbalists. Their final goal is the deification of the Rothschild banking cartel posing as representatives of the Jewish people. Hence, we have a communist faction on the left, the globalists, the homosexuals, migration, U.S. Democrats, you know, DEI, all the gays, Canada, UA, Sweden. And the Zionist faction on the right, nationalist, heterosexual, U.S., GOP, Brazil, Hungary, Israel is at the fulcrum. No nationalist is ever critical of Israel. You hear me? Yesterday, I was at Son of Fun. I was at a friend's hangar. And also, you listen to this while you're over there running around. And there was a commercial that came on. He was playing like this jazz music, right? He had a bunch of people there, and it was noisy, and there's jets flying over. But we were sitting right by a speaker. And all of a sudden, this gay woman comes on the show, and she's doing a commercial, a 30-second commercial, Austin. And she goes, I'm a black woman. I'm a transgender. I'm a lesbian. I'm gay. I'm obese. I've got body dysmorphia. I have a podcast.
She said all that?
Listen to me. And I'm like,
wow, okay.
Now,
checked all the boxes.
Now, if I got on there and I said,
oh, boy,
I'm white. I'm male. I'm a really big-time heterosexual.
I'm in good shape.
And I really like women. They're beautiful, and I think they're great creatures. I'm really glad God made them that way. And we have a podcast in which we come in and we criticize the other side as far as what they believe. I would immediately be shadow banned on every single platform.
Oh, they'd probably investigate you for hate speech,
now,
honestly.
No, it's you think about it for a second, and you think, well, that was an ad.
Especially if you said you're white.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't. No,
that would
no. You can't be white.
You can't be white.
But she's black, tranny, gay,
Obese.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Otto Kahn, who was great, who was born in 1869, this goes all the way through. This is when all the Zionism started, by the way, to 1934, was a partner of Jacob Schiff and Paul Warburg and America's most influential investment bank, Kuhn Lieb. Thus, it is worth recalling what he said. I posted this, by the way. You can read it. About the Illuminati's Jewish strategy. In his book, Geneva Versus Peace. By the way, I looked this book up yesterday. You can buy it on Amazon, but it's in French. So good luck with that. But I did find it. In his book, Geneva Versus Peace, the Comte de Saint-Hilaire, who was the French ambassador to London from 1920 to 1924, recalled a dinner conversation with Otto Kahn, which took place shortly after World War I. The shocking expose is fast disappearing down the memory hole. Asked why bankers would back Bolshevism, a system supposedly against private ownership, Kahn tugged on his enormous cigar and explained that the bankers, probably some type of phallic symbol for that pervert. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that, but that's the truth. Kahn tugged on his enormous cigar and explained that the bankers create apparent opposites to remake the world according to their specs. You say Marxism is the antithesis of capitalism, which is equally sacred to us. It is precisely for this reason that they are direct opposites to one another, that they put into our hands the two poles of the planet and allow us to be its axis. You listen to me? They turn the globe anywhere they want, if you believe in the circular earth theory. These two contraries, like Bolshevism and ourselves, find their identity in the international, presumably he means the Comintern. These opposites meet again in the identity of their purpose, in the end, remaking of the world from above by controlling riches and from below by revolution. Look at what Larry Ellison just said about what Israel's going to do with TikTok. Okay, look what he said. Our mission consists in promulgating the new law and creating a God, that is to say, in purifying the idea of God, they're creating their own God, and realizing it when the time shall come. We shall purify the idea by identifying it with the nation of Israel. Now remember, when he wrote this, Israel didn't even exist, which will become its own Messiah. The advent of it will be facilitated by the final triumph of Israel. This is going to be in the world court. They're going to run the planet. Our essential dynamism makes use of the forces of destruction and forces of creation, but uses the first to nourish the second. Our organization for revolution is evidenced by the destructive Bolshevism, 100 million dead, and for the construction of the League of Nations, which is also our work. Bolshevism is the accelerator, and the League of Nations is the brake or the mechanism which we supply both the motive force and guiding power. But they failed with the League of Nations. That's because they didn't control the media. What is the end? It is already determined by our mission. The end is already determined. It is formed of elements scattered throughout the whole world, but cast in the flame of our faith in ourselves. We are a League of Nations which contains the elements of all others. Israel is the microcosm and the germ of the city of the future. He said this over 100 years ago. People who presume to take the place of God are Satanists, this author goes on to say. Satanists redefine reality and morality, turning them upside down. They seek a worldwide political, economic, and cultural monopoly institutionalized in a world government. This is achieved by, I also just talked about what they did here, by Hegelian dialectic, the process of creating adversaries and achieving a synthesis that corresponds to their goals. In the process, potential opponents are eliminated. Charlie Kirk.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say that. Okay. Gone. Done.
Communism versus capitalism. In the book, The Red Symphony Revelation, consider insider Christian Radovsky showed how communism and capitalism were part of this dialectical process. In each case, the Illuminati Jewish banking cartel controls all wealth and power in all countries in which they control the central bank, period. They don't control it in Iran. In Moscow, there is communism. In New York, there is capitalism. It is the same as thesis and antithesis. Analyze both. Moscow is subjective communism, but objectively state capitalism. New York capitalism is subjective, but communism is objective. A personal synthesis of truth, the financial international, the capitalist communist won they. In the USSR, the state owned the corporations and the bankers owned the state. This is like BlackRock owns State Street, who owns Vanguard. That's what they're saying here. Okay, and of course, this is consistent with the famous 1954 quote from Rowan Gaither, the president of the Ford Foundation. Listen to what he said. President of the Ford Foundation, Henry Ford rolled over to his grave. We operate here under directives which emanate from the White House. The substance of the directives under which we operate is that we use our grant-making power to alter life in the United States such that we can comfortably merge with the Soviet Union.
There you go.
Okay, and he goes on, we are in the final stages of a long-term conspiracy by Kabbalist Jew bankers and their Masonic lackeys to erect a world police state and to control us by fraud and force, their watchwords. This has been achieved by a contrived dialectical process, best exemplified by World War II and the Cold War, where they fabricated and financed the adversaries. Didn't they just say that Benjamin Netanyahu was financing the terrorism
Oh, yeah. Hamas. Yeah. $35 million a month in cash.
That's where all their fancy Toyotas come from.
Yeah.
Now, Qatar. Now, I'm going to stop once. I'm going to back off 1 second here. I'm going to say this very clearly. Not all Jews believe this. The Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan believes this. But they claim to be Jews, but they are not. They're Satanists. And you don't have to be Jewish to do this. But they're using Israel as the fulcrum here to say, if you say anything against Israel, you're an anti-Semite. They're going to shadow ban you. That's what they're doing. Because I have a lot of friends that are Jewish that basically don't feel that they think all this stuff is crazy. They just want to be left alone. But the reality is that the people that run the planet and the people like Larry Ellison, who are worth $100 billion or whatever, probably more now, they control the money supply and they control what they buy and what they sell and what you hear. Remember the old Outer Limits TV show? They said, just sit back and relax. We're going to control the vertical. We're going to control the horizontal. Yeah. We're going to take control of your TV now. We're going to control you. They use subliminal advertising. They would tell you, you know, obey, you know, listen to the government, love the government. And it's a little tiny script at the bottom with the stars with it when you're singing this Star Spangled Banner at the end. And it was all subliminal. It was put on our TVs. It flashed on us. So we couldn't see it to control us. This was back in the 50s and the 60s. They're already using TV as a mind control device. Now they use the doggone iPad with that. They're watching and monitoring every eye dilation, every facial twitch. Now here's what Nathan Goldman, the founder of the World Jewish Congress, said in The Spirit of Materialism in 1915. The historical mission of our world revolution is to rearrange a new culture of humanity, replace the previous social system. That means getting rid of Christianity. This conversion and reorganization of global society requires two essential steps. First, the destruction of the old established order. This is why they burned and killed 50,000 priests and destroyed their churches in Russia. Secondly, design and imposition of a new world order. The first stage requires elimination of all frontier borders, nationhood and culture, public policy, ethical barriers, and social definitions. Only then can the destroyed old system elements be replaced by imposed system elements of our new world order. The first task of our world revolution is destruction. Now listen to me. You don't believe that? Watch the video back. Turn the show back on. Watch the beginning. Look at what they just did to Gaza. Look what they just did to Lebanon.
South Lebanon. Yep.
Yeah, to Lebanon. I mean, it's unbelievable. You talk about this, and they're bragging about it.
They're bragging about it. He's talking about how they're going to basically start rebuilding it. Yeah, they're just. Let me know when you're done with this. I got a topic I want to cover.
I can't read any more of this.
I want to dial this in a little bit more so you guys understand where I was coming with this. I have a customer named Kevin. Great guy, great customer, great friend. Motorhead, absolute monster with Corvettes, builds all kinds of cool stuff on there. He sent me a text this morning covering what I covered the other day with ethanol E15. And I dug a little bit more research in it and starting to tie all the numbers together on this and understanding what's going on. And he sent me a text this morning. It's interesting because I was spot on. He told me that. He said, hey, brother, awesome job on the research, getting the info about the ethanol and gas. This is from Kevin. He said, I've tuned quite a bit of gas vehicles, and you're 100% correct. Ethanol has a stoichiometer of roughly 9.1, where straight gasoline is 14.7.1. Now, basically, a stoichiometer, as far as what they test on there, is stoichiometric. It basically looks at the study of reactants and products and chemicals and the reactions and how efficient they are. So ethanol has a much lower as far as efficiency standard. Now you can tune things with them and get certain power out longer, but the tunability, longevity, and the efficiency of them is down significantly. He said, whenever you add 10% ethanol, it brings the stoichiometric down to 14.1. The less energy the fuel has, the lower the stoichiometric value will be. Because more fuel is required to get the proper burn inner, worse gas mileage. He said, we should be building engines to run on natural gas because this is a stoichiometer 17:1. Once again, thanks for the amazing work. Now, this is something that I came up that was interesting. I want you guys to look at this. I did a little digging. Okay. Higher ethanol blends, this is just straight off Google. Higher ethanol blends cause decreased fuel efficiency due to lower energy density. They cause corrosion. It says here, ethanol in fuel is a solvent that breaks down, dissolves plastics, rubber, seals, and aluminum in older engines. Water absorption. Ethanol is extremely hygroscopic, meaning it absorbs water from the air, causing corrosion in the fuel system. Severe cases causes phase separation, water and fuel separating the tank.
I didn't know that.
Had this happen before in a side-by-side. It's a nightmare.
No.
They will do this long term.
It happens.
Yeah. What happens, the ethanol draws water in, and it draws more water in the fuel. The longer it sits, the more it separates. Deposits and rough running, it causes debris to form in fuel lines and clog filters. Listen to this. Suitability. Higher ethanol blends, like E15, will damage small engines, lawnmowers, chainsaws, and vehicles made before 2001. 2001 specifically is when ethanol really starts tearing stuff up, pre-2001. While many modern vehicles designed to run on E10, higher blends are still not supported, and they can still run roughly and inefficiently. But hey, the EPA now says because of the Iran war, they got emergency usage to run E15 and start rolling it out all over the place. Now, here is the million-dollar bang that you guys are going to find interesting on this. 2001, pre-2001, right? Ethanol just wrecks everything the way the engines are designed. What's interesting? In 1996, GM launched OnStar to allow diagnostics of vehicle capability in 1996. By the year 2000, GPS tracking on OnStar on civilian vehicles was approved by the U.S. government. After that, everything started getting monitoring, tracking, and remote diagnostic capability, including locations, security, and driving behavior monitoring. That happened in 2001, 2002, 2003. All that got approved right after 9/11. Isn't it funny? Ethanol ruins vehicles pre-2001. Suddenly, they're wanting to run ethanol up in every single fuel now across the country with E15, and they're trying to roll it out big time now. And yet, we see all the vehicles pre-2001 were the last, I guess, frontier of freeness where everything wasn't tracked 24/7 and monitored, GPS, and scrutinized. That's how you know this is not just an accident. The EPA comes out and says every vehicle has to continually get higher fuel mileage, right? They put a carrot out in front of all the manufacturers. Every three years, the mile per gallon demand requirement goes up or else manufacturers have to pay fines. Trump paused a lot of this because it was insane. By like 2035, pickup trucks were going to have to get like 50 miles a gallon, which they can actually do with diesel engines if they're built properly and they don't have enormous emissions, but the EPA won't allow that. Well, then cars, they're still getting too good of fuel mileage. So as the EPA say, we got to do E15. We're going to make the fuel more inefficient, but we're going to tell you the fuel mileage has to go up. They're intentionally trying to get rid of internal combustion engines, and it's not because of pollution. It's not because of emissions. It has nothing to do with that at all. They want to remove all vehicles off the road that are internal combustion so they can monitor and track everything with electric. I've said it for years, and I will say it for decades, and I will continue to support every industry that monitors true, free, real driving with internal combustion engines, not this battery stuff, not this future hybrid stuff too. Here's the problem with the hybrids. This is what's happening with a lot of the exotics now with Ferrari. The battery systems also go out of warranty. Nobody knows what to do with them. You got a $600,000 car like the SF90, goes out of warranty after 3 years. Now the battery in that system, that hybrid battery, I found out the other day, if it goes out, it's a $180,000 system to replace.
You got to be kidding.
$180,000 hybrid system, SF90. That's why they went from 600 brand new to used now. They're going for 250 to 300. It's the value of the battery system. That's the problem with hybrid technology. Now Toyota's figured it out with the Prius. Can't believe I'm saying that. But they've used this technology for over 20, 30 years and extremely reliable. The problem with it is it takes a long time to dial this stuff in and make it long-term and actually work productively and positively. And that's also with a Prius. You not get a whole lot of performance out of that. Just put it out there.
Well, you know.
So keep your camera covered. Buy an older vehicle that can run on regular fuel and not tear up with ethanol.
Well, I know diesel. That, because, you're right. Up a place in North Carolina, we had a side-by-side.
Yeah.
And it had, somebody put ethanol fuel in it.
Right? I put ethanol fuel in it.
I didn't want to say that.
I'll put it out there. I put ethanol fuel in it accidentally. I didn't realize it had full ethanol.
I had the whole thing drained. I put ethanol fuel in it.
Well, no, let me be wrong. I didn't put ethanol in it. I put regular gas from gas station. It was E10. E10, not E15, E10.
Okay, let me tell the story.
Since you're going to put me out there like that.
Anyway, I wasn't putting you out there.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. I made a mistake. This is why I'm so adamant about this.
Listen. So it was running great. I drained the whole thing out.
You put ethanol-free fuel.
I put ethanol-free, and it ran great. And I thought, okay, it's good now. We got it fixed. Now I know what's wrong with it. I was told, don't ever put ethanol gas in these things.
Ever.
And I know why, because the ethanol picks up all of the moisture. I didn't know it did that.
I didn't know it did. That's why I was researching all morning.
Because
water absorption. Ethanol is hygroscopic. It absorbs water from the air, which causes corrosion.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
And so I was running great. Well, Austin went up there, and he ran the gas out of it, and he put a bunch of ethanol fuel back in with Hunter, his son.
Yeah, I drove to the gas station.
And he came home and said, he put gas. I said, tell me you put non-ethanol. No, I just filled it up. Go back up there again, doesn't run again.
Runs horrible.
we had to take, we had to bring it back down here, okay? Because you can't find a dealership up there. It's like 4 hours away. And we had
a month wait time.
Yeah, and a month wait time. So we finally, because you have 4 hours to wait, 4 hours to go back, 4 hours to get it, 4 hours to come back. So we brought it back down. We brought it home, and they had to drain it. And we thought the transmission, we didn't know what was wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. It was Honda, okay? It was the ethanol gas. And apparently also got a really bad batch of it. And it's just, and they drained it out, and that's all they did. It cost $400 to get it doggone drained out.
We thought it needed a new clutch.
Oh, yeah. And it runs perfect. We still run it every day. I see it running around the house now.
Well, as it says, ethanol acts as a solvent, causes degradation of rubber, plastic, water absorption, leading to phase separation and engine deposits. This stuff is not designed to be in these vehicles.
I have replaced so many two-stroke motors now with yard equipment. I can't tell you. I mean, I finally had a whole batch of them. I just threw them all away because the problem with two-stroke is, unless you work on them yourself, which I know a lot of you can. I really admire that. Okay, I got it. When you try to take them in to get them fixed, they're going to be $100 to $200 to $300 to fix them. Okay, well, they only cost $400 to start with new. So you think you spend $200 on a $400 unit to fix it? It's 10 years old or 5 years old. You might just get buy a new one, you get a 50% discount on a new one if you're going to spend that much money to fix an old one. And I quit doing it. Now I've got a chainsaw that's in a box. I haven't even put it together yet. It's been in the box for 2 years because I don't want to put ethanol gas in it. And I need it every once in a while. But I think, I don't want to do that. Now, I could run it dry. I could empty the fuel out of it every time I do it and run it dry. That helps. But you got to run non-ethanol gas.
They even say it. Look at this. EPA says this. EPA issued an emergency waiver March 25th allowing nationwide sales of E15 for the summer driving season to stabilize fuel prices. It's going to drop fuel about 10 cents a gallon, by the way.
No, it's going to cut your gas balance by 40. Now, 40%. Here's the problem. The gas prices are coming down again.
Right.
Okay, these people at EPA are just absolutely...
No. It wasn't an accident.
No.
They had to have an excuse to be able... They've been trying to push everything to E15 for years, and they can't because it gets too much blowback. It says right here, E15's approved for 2001 and newer passenger vehicles. Well, wait a minute. What about pre-2001? No, it's blatantly not approved. They know what it does. It shuts down the engine. Kind of like they want to make sure nobody's got any cars functional that don't have tracking GPS systems.
Well, no, Obama did that. Everybody was all excited. I remember Pat Robertson.
Cash for clunkers.
Pat Robertson. I'll never forget him. He was on 700 Club. And I personally think he was a high-level Mason. That's my personal opinion. And I know a lot of you probably like Pat. And some of the stuff he said was pretty good. Some of the books he wrote were pretty good. But the problem is once he started talking one time about the Federal Reserve Banks, he started talking about that, same thing Tucker Carlson did on Fox. And all of a sudden, Tucker Carlson, it was Glenn Beck. And all of a sudden, they're off Fox. They're off. They're done. They're gone. And, so you can't, there's certain things you don't talk about. And the sad part about it is you know, he was always, talking about how great Cash for Clunkers was with Obama. They're giving you $3,000 in trade credit.
$5,000 in some cases.
Yeah. On a beautiful old car that ran great, that was worth $300.
I remember. I had a contract in Amelia Island with ICF Builders when that happened. And I remember everybody up there was taking their old cars. Basically, they weren't running real good, and they were dragging them in. I talked to guys up there. Yulee County. Anybody from up there? I love you guys. Great time working up there. And it was wild because everybody's taking these old cars. And sure, you get a broke-down car, go get $5,000 for it. Why not? The problem is a lot of people had these older vehicles, like old 4Runners from the 90s and early 2000s. They don't stop running. I mean, 4Runner's like a million-mile truck if you keep the timing chain fixed on.
They're pouring concrete down the intake.
Yeah, they're ruining them. You traded them in, and it was all federal government grant. The only way you got the money from the Fed from a dealership is you had to dispose of the vehicle. You had to make it inoperable. You had to put stuff in the gas tank that had to go get crushed. Now, why in the world did they want all those vehicles pre-2000 off the road? Now you know. And it says right here, prohibited vehicles for E15. Prohibited. Give me camera four. Do not use E15 in motorcycles, boats, off-road vehicles, or gasoline-powered equipment like lawnmowers. It will cause damage.
Oh, I know. I had to throw it all away.
Why the heck are we putting it on the market then? Why are we putting it in gas stations? Why? They want to get every vehicle that's required. It cannot run on this unless it's a newer vehicle. And it's essentially basically the, it's approved for this. That's allowed to be able to handle it. It's called flex fuel.
I remember Dexter, he was still alive. He took one of my two strokes apart and showed it to me. It actually melted the seals in it.
Yeah.
It melted. Oh, by the way, Donald Trump, the guy who loves to just build people up and encourage people, right? I'm going to read you what he said about the Prime Minister of Australia.
I saw this. I saw this.
This is Donald Trump, real Donald Trump. I am not happy with the retarded Prime Minister of Australia, Anthony Airbus Albanese. We have helped him so much, but he did not want to help us in Iran. A very sad little man. I just heard he traveled to Asia to secure 1 million barrels of oil, which is only a one-day supply for Australia. We could have helped you, Anthony, and the great people of Australia, but you made your choice by not helping us. We will not forget, all in caps. Thank you for your attention into this matter, President DJT. You know, I'm embarrassed.
The whole thing with him, he keeps posting stuff, and they take it down. They post it up, they take it down. This whole thing has become, I told you guys before, this is a theater show with Trump. He's got to keep people distracted from what's really
I told you what Maria Abramovich said. This is the lady who did the soul cooking, the spirit cooking, all that kind of garbage from back when Obama was president. She said this Trump's a high-level, basically, Masonic wizard. You know, he's basically, you know, he's that's what he's here for, create chaos. And, I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that we have and then Paul Craig Roberts now says we're going to continue to have forever wars for Israel. You know,
as long as people don't stop, as long as the Congress keeps giving them money, why would they not?
President Trump has lost focus, or perhaps I should say he has refocused away from the U.S. domestic issues and is focused now on how to save his and Netanyahu's political bacon by extracting them from the war he foolishly let Netanyahu drag America into. All it was done was to just distract from the doggone. It was to take over Lebanon. Now we see that. Right. And it was to get rid of the whole mess with Jeffrey Epstein. And now he put his own personal attorney in there.
That, if you guys saw that video I posted the other day of the new AG, this is the AG of the United States.
No, we saw it. We played it.
I played it.
Played it for you guys.
And he blatantly called. This reporter goes, are we going to see any, basically, arrest with the men who abused young girls in Epstein's files? Very clear cut question. Are we going to see any arrest? Anybody going to be prosecuted? And the AG looks at him and goes, abused girls in files? He goes, what? You baked in a question into your assumption? What are you talking about? I mean, straight gaslights this guy on national television at basically a press conference. Never answers a question one single time. Every single response is another question. And I'm like, I'm a great attorney. Great response. Some of the best gaslighting I've ever seen in my life. I'll be honest with you that. I mean,
this is why Pam Bondi got fired.
This is why Pam Bondi got fired. That's exactly right. They needed somebody in there who's going to be this guy, the gaslighter of all gaslighters. I mean, this guy must drink 100-octane race fuel for breakfast. I mean, golly. And so, again, this is why you got to do everything you can to maintain your own health and safety within your family, because clearly these guys are going to lie to you. They're not going to stop lying to you. They told us it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. 2 years later, they told us the Iran war was going to be 2 days. 2 months later, we're almost $100 billion in it.
Well, now, more than that.
Now we're blocking the strait and supporting Iran and giving them $20 billion.
And now
cash.
The strait's totally open.
Now it's back open. We're giving Iran $20 billion. This whole thing's theater, guys. One thing that's not theater is the top essential supplements for gut health. This is not theater. This is the truth and how to use them correctly.
Okay, I don't know about that segue.
I tried.
No, it was pretty good.
I tried.
No, it was smooth the way you rolled into it. But it was on
these divergent, completely different directions.
Yeah, but it was smooth though.
It was a rabbit hole. Smooth rabbit hole.
It was though.
Nice post hole diggers to dig the hole.
Yeah.
So it was not too brittle.
Anyway, post hole diggers will give you a workout now.
They did side delts, baby. Mm-hmm. They got my back. I trained back again last night.
Oh, yeah. With your new workout partner?
Oh, man. I've known for years.
I hear the screaming coming out of the gym, and
he's younger and he's hungry, and I haven't trained with anybody younger. He's like 24, and he wants to grow, and I'm like, all right, we can do this. I haven't done this in a while. He wants to train, and man, I am sore. Every day I'm sore head to toe. Anyways, gut health should be a daily priority for literally everyone. Supplements are part of that package, he says on here. One of the first things you need to do is probiotics. They target specific problems. That's why we make three different probiotics, guys. They're good for microbes. They're found abundantly in fermented foods. And they also don't stick around for long, which means you got to constantly ingest them in your body. This is why we have the probiotic 100 billion and the probiotic 350 billion. These are crucial to getting your gut health. So much now we're finding your gut-brain connection is so intertwined. Your overall health, your inflammation of a lot of your other body is so intertwined with what happens in your gut. This says start with the outcome, the thing you want to fix, and determine what probiotics has human trials that help you out with that. We've already made that part really, really easy for you. The probiotics that we have are pretty much designated. The regular probiotic DF is a great maintenance formula. Just on a daily basis, great probiotics. The probiotic 100 billion is a real aggressive formula. It's designed for people that basically are trying to get gut health under control. Probiotic 350, that's like the end-all, be-all nuclear war against inflammation. You want to knock out inflammation in the gut. You want to get gut health functioning. Again, the $350 billion is where it's at. It is incredibly expensive to manufacture. My margin is unbelievably slim on that product. It's 15 sticks in straight powder. Drink it on an empty stomach once a day. It is really, really important if you've had antibiotic usage and you're trying to get your gut health back under control. That's why we built three different ones. Now, it goes on to say here, one of the biggest things you got to tie it into is a low inflammation diet. You can't be taking probiotics and then go drink a bunch of sucralose, which is Splenda. Splenda is a chlorocarbon. It can't be made non-poisonous. It releases chlorine into the entire digestive system, which means it wipes out all probiotics, period. This is why a lot of people that drink these products and use products with Splenda are constantly having gut problems or constantly having inflammation problems. This is why. Another one it says on here, most important one, vitamin D and omega-3s for gut health. Both omega-3s and vitamin D help strengthen the gut barrier and immune system and can be part of strategic supplementation plans depending on deficiencies that are measured through blood tests. That's important. Check your D3 next time on your blood levels. See where your D3 comes in out of numbers. You can also check your omega-3s. However, omega-3s are not nearly as important to check on levels. I mean, you can, but I just take a large dose of omega-3 fatty acids every single day. Period. DHA, EPA, the old-fashioned cod's great. The strawberry cod that we have, kids and adults can use it. I honestly love that one. It's really good, high dose, good quality, super pure, and it tastes great. I mean, they dialed in the flavor of this with the strawberry. Then we have the old-fashioned. We also have the cinnamon, which is really good, too. And then we have the capsule formulation if you need to do that. But do not forget the D3 and the omega-3 fatty acids for gut health. The other one, too, I talked about the other day that's getting bigger is collagen. I had no idea how important collagen was for the gut lining because the gut lining is made up almost all of collagen. And the more I'm researching, the more I'm finding, the more I'm taking collagen. Next on this list here, this is why we tied this together, melatonin, magnesium, and zinc, the sleep-gut connection. It says research supports melatonin to improve IBS, acid reflux, and ulcerative colitis. Zinc contributes to melatonin production, and magnesium helps improve sleep, lower anxiety. Both are important because chronic stress can negatively affect the gut. Several forms of magnesium and zinc are basically optional. However, one of the most effective ones we have found, that's why we use the magnesium glycinate and the magnesium theanate. That's the magnesium brain food, which I have around here somewhere. I got a can somewhere. I don't know what's
that. I use it all.
He used it all. I usually have an empty can of it, but I don't. What do you make? You make Fit Food now?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
I am too. I had eggs already, though.
Give me the camera, Richard. I'm doing the Fit. Now it's my microphone. Hello. I'm doing the Fit Food, doing the Purple Stick, and now I'm doing some GHI cleanse. Hand me some of that collagen real quick.
Slide it.
No.
Dump that in your lap. I'm pretty good with my dialing on slide.
I want to dump that in my lap again. Let's say that again. Yeah, the collagen.
Well, no, the thing is, all this stuff's tied to the gut health, but that's why the collagen, man, the more I keep researching it as far as for the digestive system, it really helps out. Because remember, the gut lining gets inflamed when you eat a bunch of trash.
Especially with glyphosate.
It wrecks the gut lining. Well, here's the problem that I'm researching. Most people, A, aren't cutting the glyphosate out of their diet. They're constantly eating this stuff. So the body needs about 3 days to recover the gut lining.
It'll
rebuild itself in 3 days. Here's the kicker. It can't keep having inflammatory products that are killing the gut lining if it wants to recover. I mean, you can't keep eating food with glyphosate and ultra-processed foods. You got to give it a break, which is great for the 3-day GHI fast that I recommend that I've done multiple times. Secondly, it needs the raw materials in order to rebuild, even when you cut the products out, like glyphosate. You put in, and I actually never did this specifically. I will do it the next time, and I'll tell you guys how I feel. Next time I do a 3-day GHI fast, I'm going to add in collagen into that fast. I've never done that before. I've always just done straight GHI.
I bet that's going to be a gut healer.
Gut
boy.
Healer. And I don't have really any gut problems because I eat so clean, but I've got a lot of people contacting me on a regular basis. They're bloated. They're having stomach problems. They're constantly indigestion. They're having acid reflux. And it almost is all tied in to the diet that we're eating, that most people are eating, and the lack of nutrients to repair the damage that's occurring on the body. Those are two factors that you've got to look at when you're having
gut
problems.
And always remember something. The Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan that runs the food supply want you sick.
Absolutely. They make more money off you.
Satan comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. That's their purpose here, is to destroy you and to kill you. I had a friend of mine. In fact, he's the one that's going back over to the hangar today. His name is Bob. And he had a one time flew the head of the Kabbalah for the people up in New York. They had to pick him up.
Did he really?
He brought his own chef and all of his own food. It was so much stuff that he wasn't going to eat our goyim food. Now, he didn't say that, but that's what it was.
He flew all of his food in?
Yes. And the problem is the jet that he chartered with Bob wasn't big enough to carry all the weight. Couldn't handle the weight. And so Bob's like, I can't do it. You can't take all the food, all your chefs and everything else. Brought his own food with him everywhere he went.
Did he bring another jet?
I don't know what they did, but Bob said he couldn't bring all this other stuff with him. But you know,
won't eat it. They won't eat the goy slop.
They won't eat the goy slop, and they won't put it in their bodies. And that's the one. That's the high up ones who know what happens. Because if you eat something that you know is going to poison you, you're nuts. But if you eat something you know is going to that you don't know is going to poison you, now you're the victim. Don't be a victim. Be a victor. You don't have to do that. You know, use high quality products. I'm going to go flying today. I've got a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Durkee's going to take me up in a plane today, and I'm bringing him a box of Purple Sticks.
Yeah.
You know, because
I'll bring him a can.
Well, I don't want him drinking coffee. I'm bringing
him. Is he doing a can or packets?
I'm bringing him a whole box of packets because he's traveling.
Okay.
And it's easier.
Yeah, on a plane of packets, you take one packet and mix it. You get a can. You happen to flip the can in turbulence, and all of a sudden your entire carpet's covered in Purple Sticks powders.
Yeah, just easier to get a packet.
you spill one packet, you spill one packet.
Yeah, whatever. But you spill a can, it's a lot of Purple Sticks.
Everybody that gets them, they go, man, you guys fill this to the top.
I said, yeah,
because I'm watching. That was our little baby there with that thing we produced. I said, I want as much as we can get in there. And everybody's like, man.
But we walked around over there at the place, and I mean, it was like a lot of walking, and it was really hot yesterday, and the sun was out. And I thought to myself, you know.
Oh, you guys, would you go to the main section
of it?
Yeah. You see C-130s?
I didn't see any C-130 transports over there. They're supposed to be here either today or tomorrow.
Oh, for the weekend.
But if you ever get a chance to come to Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida once a year, it's a huge air show. And so
it's really cool.
It's going to be fun.
Warthog's the coolest one.
I'm flying a Diamond aircraft today. Really pretty twin engine. It's really nice. And it's going to be good. We'll be going up for that in a little bit. So
getting up close and getting to play around and, I guess, you know, put your hands all over them. They don't really like it that much. That A-10 Warthog, seeing that thing in person.
It's a giant gun.
It's a gun they put wings on, basically.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Literally, the gun goes two-thirds of the length of the aircraft.
It is.
20-millimeter cannon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 20-millimeter. 20-millimeter. 20-millimeter mini. They brought up to 23. It depends on the gun itself as far as they put in there. But if I'm not mistaken.
And they're so tough, it's hard to shoot them down.
Yeah. It's pretty much a 20-millimeter minigun.
Yeah.
Minigun.
Yeah, tank buster. Yeah. I think they fired depleted uranium.
They can.
Shells.
They don't always do it. It's unbelievably pollutive to everything around.
It can't be very good for the pilot either.
Well, it's not good for anything. After that, you got to go in and you got to clear the whole areas and basically pull all the stuff out.
Well, because depleted uranium is heavier than lead.
Well, and it's toxic.
Oh yeah.
You can't grow anything on it. There we go. Right there. I gotta post that up. I love the teeth on it.
Oh yeah.
Here's the giant gun in the front.
if you do a cross sectional view of it, the gun goes like all the way back to the end.
Oh yeah, when they break it down.
And when these things show up, all the troops are so happy.
Oh, this one, the Avenger runs a 30-millimeter rotary cannon.
Wow,
3,900 rounds a minute of 30-millimeter.
Yeah, but they can't fire that much because they can't weight.
Well, no, you got to remember that gun. That plane, they run a burst with it. They do a nosedive. Mm-hmm. They come in and they come out of it. They're not going to sit there.
Another standout feature is a rugged, heavily armored airframe. Unlike many modern aircraft that rely on speed and stealth, the A-10 Warthog was built to withstand direct hits from enemy fire. It features a titanium bathtub that protects the pilot. I like that. Redundant flight controls and the ability to continue flying even after sustaining significant damage. Additionally, the aircraft's engines are mounted above the fuselage, reducing the risk of heat-seeking missile attacks and allowing for easier maintenance in field conditions.
So when they run the 30-millimeter depleted uranium rounds, they said on here that it's devastating against any enemy tanks, armored vehicles, or ground fortification. Nothing. You can't. There's no armor that stops that 30-millimeter uranium rounds.
It's too
dense.
It
cuts through everything.
It comes in too fast and too dense.
Crazy vehicle. Crazy plane.
Ugly. But boy, you're the hero of that thing when you show up.
I've always taught all my guys who were in infantry and stuff and all that. They said if they had to call one of those in, it was like, done. They're done.
If you watch that one Superman, you know, with Clark Kent.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is a lot of Kabbalah stuff in Superman, by the way. Just just mention that. What ends up happening is you see him, they come in with the A-10 Warthogs to go after the enemy combatants that are aliens.
Do they? I haven't seen that one.
Oh, by the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene alleges that Trump said, and I'm sure he did, that if her son was killed among death threats, it would be her fault.
That's pretty rough.
That's pretty cold, man. Former Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene told Piers Morgan on Tuesday that President Trump showed no compassion when she contacted him over increased death threats against her and her children. Greene joined Piers Morgan on Censored to discuss her break with the president, her recent criticism of Trump's war with Iran. Greene's fallout with the president began with her push to release the documents relating to Jeffrey Epstein that nobody wants to see but the people in the United States and people around the world, but reached new levels in recent weeks after Trump threatened to destroy the whole civilization of Iran, after which Greene called her for the 25th Amendment to be invoked against him. After Trump posted a now-deleted image depicting himself as Jesus, Greene called the post blasphemy, a claim that she expanded his ban on Morgan. I think it shocked everyone, she said, and then he comes out and says, oh, no, that's me being a doctor. It's literally trying to replace God, which is the Antichrist, and that is an Antichrist spirit. Boy, she is coming after him. The president attacked Greene repeatedly since she first began voicing opposition. Attacks she has claimed on multiple sessions of occasions have fueled hundreds of death threats against her. The former congressman have told Morgan that she reached out to Trump after her death threats began to escalate, and one of her children calling the president's response the nail in the coffin in her split with Trump. That's pretty cold. So because you've criticized me and I've criticized you and everybody hates you, and now they're threatening to kill you, in the event that they kill your kid, it's your own fault.
That's pretty rough if he said that. I don't know.
I believe her.
I do too.
Yeah, I mean, he said, well, look what he just said to the Prime Minister of Australia.
Yeah, well, he runs his mouth. He's a court jester now. Yeah.
By the way, Trump has now yanked millions from Catholic charities because the Catholic Pope decided to say something to him.
About Iran and Lebanon, I saw
it. Unbelievable.
This is interesting. This is kind of positive news now if the FDA actually goes in a positive direction, if they can do that, because RFK Jr. has been on top of them. The FDA is now calling on drug companies to release missing clinical trial data that essentially they previously allowed them to get away with. Says far too often these companies are suppressing unfavorable clinical trial results, the agency said. The Food and Drug Administration has now stated that all companies will be pharmaceutical companies will be required to release all clinical data.
Let me tell you how they do this. This is important. I hire a university to do something for me, and it comes back really bad. Okay? And I say to the university, okay, you have to change your parameters because we have to change this so something's not statistically significant. Yep. But we're going to suppress this first data that you gave me showing that aspartame causes blindness and seizures and headaches and optic nerve degradation that makes your memory go to crap and eats holes in your brain. We're going to suppress that one. Yep. You don't want that one out there. You're going to find me one in which you give the pellets of aspartame, you know, in a box to the rats where they won't eat the aspartame, and then we say they were fed
the aspartame. Supplied to them. Exactly. It's fed to them.
But you can't mix it in with the food where they have to eat it. So we're going to change the parameters so that we can get favorable results, or I'm going to give a shot to a child, and then I'm going to give him a new shot, and I'm going to say the results are the same because both the shots cause a severe autism, but they're statistically insignificant because there are no changes. So they're safe now, but we're not going to show you the data showing it caused your child to become autistic because you're goyim. You're the swine of the earth, and we get to do what we want to do with you. But quite frankly, we get to make more money when you keep you sick.
Companies are suppressing unfavorable clinical data results and keeping them secret from patients and scientific community. Those sponsoring the clinical trials have an ethical obligation to make results public regardless of data influence on company share price. Too many clinical trial sponsors and researchers are failing to report these results, leaving important information unavailable to clinicians and researchers.
This has been going on for dozens of years.
There's no side effects. It's completely safe and effective. Guys, don't believe nonsense. Do your own research. That's what we do on this show, is bring you guys this stuff every single day. Keep yourself strong and healthy. If you need anything, healthmasters.com, the gut brain axis. There's an article we wrote on that at the end of last year that ties in exactly what I was discussing on proper supplementation and how to get your gut feeling better so you don't have these problems that are occurring. Eyesight on sale. Collagen still on pre-sale for a couple more days. I'll run it through the weekend as we're getting all the orders.
I love that product, bud.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of positive results from everybody. Appreciate you guys. You need us. Healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome weekend. Stay strong. Stay healthy. If you're down in Florida, hit Sun and Fun. Talk to you guys next week.
Love you guys. Make sure you go to church on Sunday. I'll be there praying for you. I'm reading this Sunday if you want to watch me read, which you may be interested about that. You get to
what Rochester. Do we do? What do they do every day?
Well, in this case, they don't believe me that I go read before the church. Yeah, I do. I love you guys. I appreciate you so much. Grace Lutheran Church, Winter Haven, live feed, Sunday morning, 10:45. I appreciate you. I love you. I thank you for your support. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life. Remember, we can do all things through him, including make fun of the New World Order, which we get to do on the show all the time. I appreciate you so much. Love you. Talk to you on Monday.